It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipit.tv.
Hey guys, John Barchard here. You guys know how much I love to play fantasy football. So I need you to listen up because I want you to join the highest rated fantasy football app. It's called Draft. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but be done in under 5 minutes, and they last just for 1 week. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now for week 5. And the best part is you get to play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites, on all the DFS sites, because you're always trying to figure out, okay, where should I start this guy, or the value, and I don't have enough money to do all that stuff. It doesn't happen on Draft. You get a selection of every premium player. You just got to be the smartest one in the room. It's a 6-player snake draft, so you get in, you get out. Tournaments start from $1 to $1,000 to everything in between. 3-person drafts, 6-person drafts, on and on. The options are limitless. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to use is promo code BGNR. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using promo code BGNR. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they are offering BGN Radio listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. No excuses now. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code BGNR.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Let's back. He's looking. He's looking. He is rolling. He's going to tuck it and run. He is in the end zone. Touchdown, Carson Wentz.
Oh, what's going on, Bleeding Green Nation? It is episode number 266. Of the BGN Radio podcast, and whether you are listening on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Satchel, Google Play, in the toilet currently, right now with a...
Literally in the toilet.
Yeah, with a soup...
Inside.
A soup can and a string and another soup can on the end. We thank you so much for tuning in and listening each and every week. I am John Barchett, and of course, this is Vince Quinn. It's Arizona, and it's the Philadelphia Eagles this week. Vince, what do we got cooking?
Oh, my God. This is a weird one. It's hard to really, like, going into the Chargers game, I was like, all right, here's what the Chargers do, and here's how the Eagles can beat that, and that's how the game should play out. And more or less, it did work that way. The running game worked. They got over 100 yards on the ground. We talked about all that. Kind of
hey, it's like, a running team now.
I know, really.
Did you know that?
It's interesting how it's changed, right? 2 weeks' time, John, and here we are. The Eagles are a run-first team at the moment. But when you're looking at Arizona – and what they do, one thing is, they're not the NFC Championship team from 2 years ago, so throw that in the toilet. But they do one thing that team did, and they throw this ball downfield a shit ton. I mean, it is all they do. And it's reckless, really. Like, this is the most disrespectful passing game that I've ever seen. It's just... It's none of the short stuff. It's nothing cute. It's very basic, honestly. They just like chucking the ball downfield. It's almost like a childish impulse that Bruce Arians has. It's wild. So
I can't imagine the sports talk that goes on in Arizona if they're doing that all the time. Well, now that David Johnson's out, it's whatever. They can't really do anything. But
no, but yeah. they don't even try.
I'd still like to hear. So, well, despite what David Johnson not being there, why aren't you guys running the football anyway? Well, it's because you have a 35-year-old running back whose best days were behind him about 10 years ago.
Well, let me be that guy and be, even with David Johnson out, they should probably run the ball more. And that's something that let's talk about that right now, actually, because here's one of the most interesting things for me when it comes to the Cardinals is they match up with what they do, which is reckless passing, aggression. They don't keep in an extra blocker. A lot of times when you're going to see a passing attack of any degree, there's going to be, a lot of times where a sixth guy stays in, whether it's a tight end or a running back, to give you pass protection. Think about all the running backs here for the last 20 years almost. It's like, well, can we put this guy in? He can't pass protect. Or how is he with pass protection? Arizona, Bruce Arians, they don't care. They don't care even a little bit. It's alarming. I mean, when you see a running back in the backfield, he's either getting the ball in a handoff or he's going out for a pass. It is almost 100% guaranteed. And it's not even that they're always chipping either. It's an occasional chip. So you're always getting five options out there at all times. And that's what they like to do. That's all they do. They throw more. And this is true. They are the number one passing team in the league right now in terms of attempts. I wouldn't say they're the best attack, but
they're like a quarter. And then who knows what happens after that.
Well, that's the thing. And it's such a haywire thing. So we'll get into all the intricacies with the passing stuff. But one of the things, talking about this running game for the Cardinals, if I'm Jim Schwartz, how I beat Arizona is I dare them to run the ball. I do everything in my power to give them advantages that seem like advantages in the run game and dare them to run. So, like, let me give you an example. You're in a formation where, you've got a running back in the backfield. You might have a tight end on the line of scrimmage, and then you're going to have three wide receivers. So in that case, maybe instead of nickel, where you would have that linebacker turned into a corner covering the slot guy, go dime. Give me another cornerback on the field to cover that running back because he's not going to be in pass protection anyway. He's going out for a pass. So cornerback covering the running back, let them try to run at you that way. And, just Hicks or Bradham, whoever's in there with the defensive front, you try to quash that running game. But I do everything in my power to prevent.
Invite them to, right? You're
exactly.
Saying that. Go ahead.
Seriously, open the door, lay out the carpet. The finest feast. Chris Johnson, there's steak and lobster right here. Like,
yeah.
Whatever it takes to try to get them to think about running the ball, I think is a huge advantage for the Eagles. Even if the run game is like 3.5 to 4 yards a carry, I'd be thrilled if they intentionally did that to prevent the number of deep, aggressive passing plays that they want to do this week.
Which they're going to have. I mean, the speed of the Arizona Cardinals wide receiving core hasn't been lost. And by the way, kids, our old friends coming into Philadelphia who freaking roast every time he comes in here, he always puts up numbers, and that's Larry Fitzgerald. I don't expect anything different, even though, he's still – I mean, listen, he is the greatest of all time. Like, he is up there with all the rest of them. And I actually think he's an underrated GOAT, as most point out. I mean, we've had our history as an Eagles fan base with him and Anquan Boldin and what it would be like with Megatron and that whole series of times right after, like, post-TO where you're trying to look for that magic again. They're all in there. But, like, Fitzgerald, to be able to be an outside threat for as long as he was for in his career and now is just, like, still a stud slot wide receiver in his old age, and like nothing's really changed that much. If they had any semblance of an offensive line, I think his numbers would be continually going up. And like, look, it's not, you look at his numbers right now and they're not crazy, except for the one game that kind of sticks out from week 3. I think it went for 176 yards or something like that.
Yeah, against Dallas, he went
nuts. He went crazy. But you know that game's coming again. Because it just is what it is. He knows this town all too well. And you're right. I think even though it would make Michael Kendricks mad, and there would probably be an article that comes out of it, you take him off the field and you go in dime and you just have Hicks and Bradham out there. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I don't mind whatever, J.J. Nelson's been going through some injury struggles here and there. I know for all you fantasy people, he was a very hot waiver wire name about 2 weeks ago, and I'm sorry that he's disappointed you in doing so, but between him and Brown and just all the different speed that they have there, you still can't take that lightly in the secondary, and I agree. I think if you just let the front four take care of business, because, Vince, I got to tell you, man, I have never seen a sadder group of offensive linemen other than San Diego, and this might be worse. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you know this name, A.Q. Shipley, you know that name. You know that name from years ago being here. You know he was with the Colts, and they didn't want him. And look at the Colts, you know, and he's the guy that if he's anchoring your line, you know it's a bad line because that's him. That's it. And he's not even the worst one. I'm just pointing out that, like, he's one of their best offensive linemen. That's a huge problem for this football team. And just like we were alluding to before we came on here, they asked Carson Palmer to do a ton because of that. The running game's gone. There really is no time to throw the football. So good luck. Good luck, 38-year-old quarterback who hasn't been the same since the playoffs.
Well, that's the thing, too. When it comes to like their offensive line in pass protection, they're okay. They haven't really been tested yet, which is the other interesting thing, because they've played, and like, tell me if any of these teams, for whatever reason, actually scare you. The 49ers,
yeah.
The Colts,
mm-mm.
The Lions, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Not a terrifying pass rush, but a good pass rush. And the Cowboys, who just have DeMarcus Lawrence, who's a one-man wrecking god.
Yeah,
but
apparently.
Outside of him this season, they're not overly dominating. So they haven't had serious contests yet in terms of pass rush. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles front does against them. But for the Cardinals, it's not like they help out that line either. Every pass play they run, again, super aggressive, scorched earth passing game. I mean, when you're going down the field, five options every single time, Carson Palmer's going to take the snap. He's going to be in the pocket for at least 3 seconds, and then he's throwing the ball. You know, those quick slants don't exist in Arizona's offense. They don't run them. I mean, they just don't bother with it. You get the occasional wide receiver screen, but it's not frequent. So when it comes to this matchup, the Eagles front four is going to have an interesting opportunity. It might even surprise Arizona a little bit because given they've gone through four games and they haven't been devastatingly bad for, you know, having a really old Carson Palmer who can't move around all that much and he's not getting sacked like crazy, they might feel themselves a little bit and they might continue to do, you know, five passing options, not have extra support for the offensive line. It could burn them early. Like, the Eagles in this game, I think the first quarter and having a good start is so much more important than it's been in previous games. And part of it is just popping the offensive line of the Cardinals in the mouth and getting after them. And a great – because A.Q. Shipley, dear God, you're spot on with that. And it was hilarious to watch. I'm watching all the games. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's still – like
still hanging around.
I thought he'd be out of the league like 5 years.
Yeah.
So A.Q. Shipley, with that line, they've also got another guy – on the team.
Please say the guy I think you're going to say.
Well, Will Holden. Do you know?
No, that's not the one I was thinking of, but tell me about Will Holden.
Okay, so Will Holden is a fifth-round pick this year out of the powerhouse that is Vanderbilt football.
the same powerhouse that produced such Hall of Famers as Jordan Matthews.
Yes, there Hall of Famer. James Franklin? Maybe not. So Will Holden's going to be starting at right guard for the Cardinals in this game, fifth round rookie, and he was their third option to do it. So, you know, Mike Iupati, good player with the Niners for a while, a top pick. He got hurt. Alex Boone was also with the Niners for a bit. He came over to the Cardinals as the backup option, and he's hurt too. So you've got your third string, fifth round rookie in there. He's going to be playing guard. Excuse me, he's going to be playing left guard. But to have that opportunity where, even with Fletcher Cox out, which is going to suck, you've got Tim Jernigan, and first quarter, Tim Jernigan against this rookie lineman. I mean, at the beginning of the game, that is so important to me when this one gets going.
Yeah, and like if you saw what Timmy's finally done with the two gap and bullshit. Like, it is way out of his system. And you saw that last week against L.A. and the Chargers. I mean, he was in the first couple of quarters there, and again, it's a weak offensive line there too. First snap, he's got the cart 2 yards back, and there's Melvin Gordon for an easy tackle. Like, if you are, I think you can expect a lot of the same different things. And the name that I thought you were going to say was Jared Valdir.
Oh yeah,
because although DeMarcus Lawrence is a stud, and I hat tip him, whatever. He is responsible, I think, for 4 of his sacks. I don't know if that's I got to remember if that's true or not. But he, like, you might as well not even put a right tackle out there. It was ridiculous. They just let him. It was Ole. All right, I can't get to him. Here you go. And not to discredit, like, his. So I couldn't tell if he's like, all right, is this him having a monster season, or is this this how bad this right tackle is? And I think I'd lean towards. How bad this right tackle is. So there is just dysfunction all over this place, which I know we kind of said last week, and all of us thought going into the Chargers game, well, wow, this defensive line is going to go in there and get sacks and get a lot of eating down, and, you know, Barnett, and this is his time. I feel like this is the third week in a row that we're about to say that, but it's still true with this matchup. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're not getting out of there and doing anything. And sure, can you be a little disappointed that the numbers and things aren't there for a lot of these guys? Yeah, sure. But, you know, I mean, if Bo Allen is slicing up through there like butter last week and creating mayhem, I can't imagine what this is going to look like. I think this is the worst offensive line in the league. Like, it is hard to find another one.
Whoa. The New York Giants.
I don't know anymore.
Oh, man. Wow.
Just because of how it's going to be with all these, you know, there's all these different backups.
You're getting me giddy, man. You're getting me excited for this one.
If I told you that I knew anything about Will Holden, then I'd be lying to you. Like, I really don't know much about him other than what Vince has already told you. But I got to assume, you know, if they held him off for this long to get it to this point and they didn't put him in there, that's enough for me to go like, okay, so he's not like – killing it in practice, and he didn't have a fantastic preseason or whatever. I just think that this is probably one of the worst I've ever seen in a while. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, take you on a weird journey here. They are that bad offensive line wise. Everything else is great. You know, we can have the debate about the quarterback, but he would be fine if he had a real offensive line. And this is the farthest thing from it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're talking about Jared Valdir getting his ass kicked. And DeMarcus Lawrence is kicking everybody's ass.
He is.
But the problem is, when your right tackle's getting beat like that, Bruce Arians at this point has not been saying, I'll give him help. Let me get a tight end to come in and chip. Because, look, they use their tight ends all the time. And you see a ton of 2 tight end sets. And you'll even see them lined up next to each other, next to the right tackle or the left tackle. So they use these guys all over the place. But far more often than not, they're both going out on pass routes. I mean, it's just they're just different, you know, receiving options is the way that Arians takes it. And so you just keep going back to how aggressive this offense is. So one of the interesting things that really stuck out to me, too, about the passing game is and what I expect to see a lot of on Sunday, because if I'm Bruce Arians, I'm looking across the field. I see Jalen Mills, who's a younger guy. He's played a lot, but he's still a young guy. He's not the fastest guy in the world. Rasul Douglas, very inexperienced, not the fastest guy in the world, making Tyrell Williams and Keenan Allen look fast.
Yes.
So when you've got that on the other side, and you've got the chance to, with your speedy receivers of, you know, John Brown, all the Browns, it's John Brown and what's the other one? I always space Jerron Brown. So when you've got that kind of speed to go with Larry Fitzgerald, and you're dealing with this kind of inexperience, something the Cardinals have done a lot, and again, I expect to see a lot of it, bunch formation. You're going to get 3 yes. guys wide on the outside or even closer to the formation. They move them around a little bit. But setting picks for each other, very natural picks, forcing these corners to work around traffic and get into coverage against fast wide receivers. I mean, it's really not a great matchup for the Eagles defense this week. As much as we want to talk about the D-line, I look at the secondary and I'm like, "Oh boy."
Yeah, it is not great there, and it never has been. It never, like, throughout the last 7 years and the times that they've been able to play one another, it's never been a good matchup. And it's not a good matchup for really anybody in the league. As much as good or bad as the Cardinals are, like, that's how they get you. Like, we all remember the John Brown last 2 minutes of the game, 3 minutes of the game. Just all of a sudden, you're fine, you're good, you've contained them this entire time, and then all of a sudden, bang, they just pop one off because somebody tried to get cute and just didn't play it safe, and they've burned you, and it can happen at any time. And, you're right. I mean, there's the speed is just not there. That's why, again, it's so important. And this is going to be this is going to be how it is for a long time until, you know, you can finally say, okay, Rasul Douglas is good, and Darby's back, and Sidney Jones is here, and Patrick Robinson's magically the best slot corner in the NFL suddenly. It's going to be like that, and the job will always be, and it will go through the defensive line first, because that's where it's going to make Jim Schwartz feel the most comfortable to be aggressive and bring up, you know, McLeod on those safety blitzes, whatever. I don't think you can do that here, at least not until you have a lead. I don't think you're going to be able to do that and be aggressive right away. It doesn't mean that they're just going to, you know, step back and be like, oh, no, I'm not going to do this. But Jim Schwartz has shown already that despite the numbers early where they didn't allow a lot of deep passes, and they still don't, doesn't mean that they don't get burned, and they do get burned. So I'm with you. I think this is you play off, you don't play press unless the down and distance calls for it and you got to get the ball out quickly, and you just kind of methodically work some things out, and hopefully this offense can ramp things up and get a 14-point lead early. Because essentially, these guys are already semi-one-dimensional before they're walking into the game. For any minute has any second has gone off the board here, they can't run the football. So it changes a lot of things, and that also should also make you feel pretty good coming into it as well.
Well, the other thing is too, it's like you could almost say it, like my inclination is to be like, okay, well, you know that Arizona wants to go deep. You're going to cover that off and just give them the underneath stuff. Just let them do the quick, you know, hook routes and little slants and drags across the field for 3 yards, and they'll, you know, you get them for 5, and that'd be fine. They don't even try those things. It's like, what are we looking at here? I mean, for them, it's like, you know how it's like you want to run to set up the pass or that kind of thing?
Yes.
For them, it's like, we want to do the mid-range passing so we can do the deep passing. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
They're killing just, in the middle, yeah.
Really, I mean, they're short routes on average. It looks like, I mean, just watching all the games they've played this season, I mean, they're running like 12 to 15 yards, and that's just kind of where you expect them to be all the time. The game that I think of, the way the Eagles played the Chiefs, where it was a lot of downfield passing, and they threw like 50 times a game. They ran 13, and Blunt didn't get a carry. That's the Cardinals every single game. And it's just like, it's hard to think about, because it's just so unorthodox. Like, Arians is a true system guy. That is his system. And when you go back to, like, what makes this work, you know, and right now you can debate whether it's worked. I think it's gotten better over the last 4 weeks. But the Carson Palmer factor in all of this is really, and I hate to do it because it's always like, oh, well, what do you know? The quarterbacks are important in this game. Back to you, Chuck. It's yeah. Like, all right, fuck that. It's such a waste of my time. But in this case, with the expectations for Carson Palmer, every single snap, I mean, he's everything in this game. He's it. Like, if he's a little bit off or he makes one or two bad decisions too many, because he's guaranteed to make a few.
Yeah.
Absolutely guaranteed to make
a few.
It's
been his MO.
Yeah. So when it gets to that point, it's just like, if he has a sharp day, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I don't know. It's so weird to go into a game and be this fixated on how good Carson Palmer is going to be that day.
and I see a lot of, especially Arizona Cardinals fans too, just like saying, well, our Carson's better than their Carson, but yeah, you know, you see all these things. And sure, like you take the experience of Carson Palmer. Sure, I would take the experience of that over Carson Wentz's right now. If they can meld the two together, I think you would have one freaking hell of a quarterback. But well, I mean, come on, y'all. I mean, Carson Palmer's been the same wave for the last seven years in the league, out of the league, whatever. I actually probably respect him more than a lot of people would do. Which is always dangerous. I feel like I deal with that a lot with quarterbacks, but like Like, he did have a resurgence there, and they got it together. It's just that damn championship game threw everything off, and that was it, like, mentally, whatever. And that's where, you're right, like, you can get into his head early and often and just make him do a bunch of weird things that normally a quarterback wouldn't do. And, like, my favorite things that he does are just kind of, like, sometimes he will do a 180 and just throw the ball. You know, like, he'll spin around and just throw it to where I think he's going to be, which is also at the same time he can look like a genius because he knows the offense so well that, like, oh, no, there's Larry Fitzgerald just sitting there waiting on the sideline for that ball to kind of come out and do that. It's funny how many similarities there are with the Chargers and also with the Cardinals, because Carson Palmer also reminds me of Philip Rivers in that same way, where you can be hot and streaky and, like, be nailing everything downfield, be the most frustrating quarterback ever, and then the next thing you know, you're yelling into your helmet. Although Carson doesn't do that, we'll just leave that to Philip there, which was the most fun I've had in a while, looking at a quarterback yelling into his helmet during a game. But it's the same way, and that's why it's important to get to him early, and hopefully it just minimizes all those, you know, all those downfield passes that they like to throw in the mid-range shots. And I still think that that's not going to happen here, because it's Larry Fitzgerald and it's Philadelphia, and they'll find a way.
Yeah, they very well could. I mean, I don't feel confident about this game. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, it's a loss or whatever, but it's this feels like a game that goes down to the last play.
Yeah.
And it's legitimately down to the last play. It's not like you need to go 80 yards to get a touchdown and it's a one-score game that way. Like, this feels like, you know, last-second field goal kind of game to me. But when, like, Carson Palmer, here's what's so fascinating about him, is even right now, he's 37, and he's a well-traveled 37. His knee was torn to shreds a couple of times. It's been so long now, but, I mean, he's been through a lot, that guy. And generally this year, his deep ball, pretty damn good. He's been throwing the ball into a couple of tight windows, and it's really impressive, but the thing is, he's got a bit of a reckless disregard at the same time. He's like, Rivers is such a great comp because Rivers feels himself a lot.
Yeah.
And he just says, I'm just going to make this play happen. And when you've got good, at least somewhat good professionals on the other side of the ball, it doesn't always just happen like that. And so what happens is, you'll see Palmer force a throw, it's deep, and he'll force it deep into double coverage. Or he forces it to a guy just because he thinks he can, and it's just a well-covered single coverage, and he shouldn't have thrown it there at all. And so he's going to, and when you're passing, the other thing is, I mean, they do not run. I think they're 26th in the league in attempts, and they're first in the league in passing. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. With that, like, you're exposing yourself, let's say, 45 times a game on deep passes. So more time to read it, more time to react to it, get in position, and make the play. When you do it that frequently, you're making your chance for turnovers that much higher, which is just, it's not great, you know, efficiency analytics, all that kind of stuff. It's not a great idea. And for Palmer, it's like, what the Eagles do with those, let's say three. I'm going to say there's going to be three really bad passes that Carson Palmer makes, whether it's double coverage, just a ball he shouldn't throw, whatever.
Got to have them.
Exactly.
Those
are the game. Because he's going to have them inevitably, even if he's having his sharpest day at this point, he's going to make a few bad decisions. They got to capitalize on those plays, and you can't have the same number of big ones. I mean, if they just let, you know, John Brown, Fitz, if they're just running wild 20 yards down the field and they can stretch it to 60 in a heartbeat, I mean, man, it's an incredibly long day, and the Eagles could just get dried out. But the Carson Palmer factor is just one of the strangest, most impactful, true quarterback impacts in a single game. And it might be the biggest one this whole year, to
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, and look, I mean, for the Eagles and what they're impacting, I always feel weird about this, and can I just say, stop with the trap game shit. I feel like we say that, it goes around every week, like, Chargers, could be a trap game. You're not looking forward. You're not looking ahead to the next week here. I don't see where that's happening. This is another chance for the Eagles to be 4-1, and who knows what happens in the rest of the division. And for you to find out, you know, Vince obviously does a fantastic show for all of our Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/BGN Radio. The Beast, it's $5. It's everything you wanted more about the rest of the division, because he pays attention on everything that's going on, because we all can't keep eyes on exactly everything that's going on there. But this team has an opportunity just to keep growing and growing, because we're all waiting for that, okay, we kind of saw this last year. Granted, it's not in a dominating fashion. It hasn't been like a Pittsburgh-type game yet. But for them to be 4-1, and it's October, and like, okay, it's not just a September thing. You know, people are still trying to figure this team out and what Carson Wentz is about. And we haven't really seen anything from Torrey Smith yet. Alshon Jeffery's been a factor, but we haven't seen the numbers part of it, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and whatever else is going on. I don't feel that way at all with this particular matchup. I think they match up, again, pretty well for what they want to do. And I hate to say it again this week, but it's this also kind of leans towards, all right, you're probably going to see them go away from the run, because the Cardinals are still pretty good front seven-wise. And, hey, their secondary is nothing to sneeze at either. I mean, that's still in the same way that I look at their wide receivers, I look at the same way with their secondary. You know, it's Patrick Peterson. It's the Honey Badger. It's a lot of guys that like to go out there and compete and be nasty and do a lot of that. And they do, and despite what their numbers say as a passing defense, and, yeah, sure, they allow – I think they allow some of the highest attempts there as – oh, no, they don't. It's lower. They're 24th in the league in – attempts against them. So that's a very telling thing, you know, but I still think this is a game where they're going to try and get the run established, as everybody likes to do, but, you know, don't be surprised if they go back to what Doug and probably Carson and a lot of other people want to do, which is throw the football here. Now, I don't necessarily think I think this is another game where you're just like, all right, whatever's going to work, stay with it. If they get the run game going, stay with it. If they're somehow beating him with Zach Ertz and Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar or whatever, keep doing that. You know, this is going to be a feel-out thing, and I think the first 20 scripted plays from Doug are going to be very interesting and telling, because I try and decide which way they're going to go here, and sometimes I really don't. I didn't expect them to keep running it for 30 times or whatever it was last week, even though I thought you could do whatever you wanted to San Diego, and that's what they did. They're like, wow, this is working. Let's not change anything. That's a good sign from Doug. Adapt to what they're giving you.
Yeah, and for Doug, like, this game is so – it's delicate. Like, it's just – there's no clear hole in Arizona, because their front seven is – well, specifically the linebackers. The linebackers, they're just athletic. Their ability to go sideline to sideline, yeah, and shut down sweep plays, they've been doing it all year. They've done it against some good teams. They did a solid job against Zeke. And the Lions, they've got Amir Abdullah. He's solid. Frank Gore with the Colts. I like Carlos Hyde with the Niners. So
you think you mean Frank Gore from the Eagles? Thank you.
Yes. Excuse me. Sorry, Frank. Jersey. I still have it.
Good Lord.
So, like, they've done a good job with decent running games, two really good running games. And they've been able to, so again, they've been able to shut down the outside. But when it comes to the middle of the field, again, like with the Chargers, I looked at it, it's just like, I think you can run up the middle. Things have been good with the interior of the line, and the Cardinals have seemed to allow solid gains up the middle. Not devastating gains. It's not like you're getting, you know, a lot of big breakout plays, but you're 4, 5, 6 yards on a carry. You can get that in the middle of this Arizona defense. As much as they're quick, you can out-muscle them in the interior. So that's what I expect. I think there's got to be a lot of blunt. It's got to be early, just consistently. You know, try Smallwood on the outside. See if you can get him out there just to stretch things a bit and keep them guessing. But it's a lot of up the middle. And then in terms of the rest of the attack, like, you're talking about the secondary, and you're so right about this, because they're just a really talented group. And we know the Honey Badger. We know Patrick Peterson. But the guy that really stuck out to me is Tyvon Branch.
He's having a hell of a season.
He's great. I mean, they put him all over the field. He's playing up against the line. He's playing back. He's playing in man coverage. He can do basically anything they ask of him, and he does it very well. It's impossible to watch a Cardinals game and not see Tyvon Branch. He looks fantastic. And so to have two good safeties, to have a lockdown corner, it's imposing. And you get concerned about that. There's no easy way around. You can't do the short bubble screens to beat it necessarily because they've got speed and size and whatever. So it's like, okay, what do you do? Well, you just gotta like try different things. You gotta just be creative and take shots here and there. I don't think there's like a clear hole in the secondary. You know, like classic video games would be like a giant blinking red dot.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like. Yeah, like this isn't Legend of Zelda.
No.
And there's no clear answer. This isn't Mega Man. So like you just gotta pick your right spots and try throwing against Arizona. I don't think they're so incredibly good as a pass defense that it's not worth it. Take your shots, but to make the game plan to consistently go after especially the back four of the secondary, I don't know about that. Like this has to be, I think, a pretty stable, balanced game plan, just, you know, in terms of depths, in terms of run versus pass, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and to get back to Branch too there, like I had to go and remind myself, to, like he had such a weird career so far. You know, he gets drafted by the Raiders, he has a breakout season, and then whew, he just kind of disappears. Like they put a tag on him eventually. I think he dealt with a ton of different injuries. I think he was with Kansas City for like a 2 years, I think, before he ended up on the Cardinals. And you just think about what the Chiefs and what they're going through now. It's like, well, damn. I mean, like, how bad? It's so weird how the NFL just, you know, does these things all the time. Same thing. This team is like somewhat of a, he's never going to be good again. And then like Carson Palmer has like a stretch of goodness after the whole Raiders debacle and whatever. So like anything that the Raiders, and he was still part of like, well, whatever the Raiders touch is still bad. You know, so it's just kind of, he was still part of that.
He was.
Until, you know, Carr got there and whatever, and they got rid of some of those demons. But same thing. Like, I am astounded by, like, how, and I'm not trying to make him out to Superman either. But, again, they ask him to do a lot, and he does, to a point where they had, you know, Antoine Bethea out there for, I mean, like, they switched spots. They were just like, no, we're gonna roll like this. And I correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll look it up if I am, but pretty sure they paid him a significant amount of money to go grab him. So it's a nasty secondary. It's something that I, like, admire from afar always, and I hope that, like, real quick, just because we didn't get into it a lot, Jimmy Kemsky did say something pretty interesting today about Sidney Jones.
Oh, yeah?
Like, he would bet money that after week 11 is when you're going to start to see him, like, playing this year.
Oh, man.
Which I thought was a weird thing. Like, oh, I was just, man, like, oh, well, why would they do that? And then maybe he is farther along. Like, that would be an interesting thing to see. And the only reason why I'm bringing it up is because I think I look at the Cardinals secondary, and I think, again, the Eagles have an opportunity to be special with what they have there, with the mix of everything. And I don't know what holds in store with Malcolm Jenkins and his future and his health and whatever. But for that group, if Sidney Jones comes out here week 11, week 12, and the Eagles are like heavy in the thick of things, and that's when Darby's probably going to be back too.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun,
What's going to happen? Let's see. Are we going to take the Cadillac out for a drive here or what? Or does it just mean he'll be around and he'll be active? Like, there was a reason why they didn't just IR him. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's whatever we feel about it. Sidney Jones looks like he's going to be able to play some football this year.
Yeah, and if he does, it would be a really imposing secondary, because for the Eagles, and like going back to what the Cardinals are doing, there are some comparables. Like when you're talking about Tyvon Branch, who, again, he's playing all over the field for the Cardinals, and he's in like his 10th year. I mean, the guy, he's been around for a while, but he just looks excellent. He kind of is that Malcolm Jenkins revival project. Right place, right fit, everything's going right for him, and the defense looks good because of it. So from the Eagles' standpoint, it's tough because the linebackers, the same way they can cover the field really well in the run game and get to that perimeter, they can also do a really good job in coverage. So it's like, okay, the Eagles could do the quick stuff, you know, 3 yards, 5 yards, yeah, drag routes, screens, all the stuff that I was talking about before. And the thing is, you're not getting many yards after the catch with this Cardinals defense.
No,
they do an excellent job of closing in on these short
routes. So what, you're saying Zach Ertz won't have any yak this week? Oh,
he might not. Right. I don't know. Yeah, who would know? That'd be a fun over-under. I don't know if someone ever set that up for, like, the season to have an over-under of how many yards total Yak would be for Ertz. That'd be fucking hysterical. but, yeah, anyway, like, so that's the thing. It's not like, okay, well, the secondary's good, so you can just throw underneath and work the middle of the field, which was kind of the idea with the Chargers. Well, it's like, no, they kind of do a good job in the middle of the field as well. So it's just Wentz has to be sharp. You got to find the right times to take your shots, and the run game has to work and work early. But the one benefit, I think this is a real X factor in this game, believe it or not, is Carson Wentz's legs. When I look at this matchup, the thing is, as much as the secondary's great and the linebackers are really good, and the defensive line has Chandler Jones on it. Chandler Jones is a...
Can I just say, the Patriots are the dumbest organization on the planet for letting that guy go. And the whole, you can say, oh, rings and Tom Brady. Yeah, shut up. That was one of the dumbest things they've ever done. All the arguments I heard about him leaving and him like, oh, well, they're not going to pay him anyway, so you might as well get something for him. Well, shit, I bet they would like that back right about now because their defense sucks, asshole.
Yeah, Jamie Collins, too.
And he was, yeah, both of those guys are a huge reason why Arizona's defense is good and the Patriots is not. Like, it is not just plug and play with everybody, as we learned from a certain someone. That we came through here. So I don't want to hear anything about how great the Patriots are. They're terrible. They're terrible at talent. Thank God that they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Because, like, he squeezes that in there. And it's so funny to me that people, even right now, this season, go, man, I don't think Bill Belichick's ever had this bad of a defense. Like there's somebody else picking the players and making the decisions. Like, no, dumbass. He did it to himself. He did it to himself. Chandler Jones is ridiculous, and he doesn't get any credit because of where he's at right now. Because, I'm sorry, Cardinals fans, no one really gives a shit about the Cardinals. Nobody really gives a shit about anybody. They don't care about the Suns. I mean, it's a pretty bad sports town, if we're being honest. Like, and I have that bias going.
The Coyotes, John.
I have that bias going back to 2008 because I saw somebody with tags on their jersey in an NFC championship game, and it was fucking Matt Leinart. And he wasn't even part of that squad. Like, he was long gone, not a thought, you know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he was a backup. But still, like, somebody bought a $5 Matt Leinart jersey that day to go and take into the stadium? Like, God damn it. Anyway,
yeah.
Besides all that, so underappreciated. And just, like, because Bill made the move, they're not good. Well, guess what? He got a lot of things wrong with these guys that are in Arizona right now. Bruce Arians was really smart to go, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was worth it for them. They really needed a pass rusher. Chandler Jones hasn't been dominant for them, but he's been solid. And the interesting thing is, like, if you watch the Cardinals line, they're not generating a ton of pressure. And so, given how well the offensive line is playing right now, let's be real, the offensive line, I mean, there was a lot of doubts, but at this stage, they look pretty damn good. And so, to know that and see this matchup against Arizona, I feel like Wentz is going to have a lot of time in the pocket. I think if they decide to drop back and do those, you know, 3 seconds, 4 second plays, he shouldn't have any issue. And he can stretch those into 5 seconds, 6 seconds in the pocket. And when you've got that kind of flexibility and you've got a quarterback that does have good legs, if Arizona decides to man up because they have that ability, well, Wentz could see a wide open field in front of him and be able to pick up yardage on the ground. And so not having a good pass rush gives him that benefit. And it's something that Arizona doesn't have even a little bit in their Carson. So to have that, I mean, I honestly think Wentz could get over 40 rushing yards this week.
Yeah, I like that. Because there's going to be lanes there. They're going to want to try and push him around and push him up in the pocket. And they're aggressive. And I would expect a lot of screen moves in this game, too. I think the, you know, maybe not the fake double reverse, you know, screen to Brent Celek or to Smallwood or whoever is going to be out there. But I think screens are going to be heavily involved in, you know, in the Eagles' offense. And I do think that Carson's with legs. You're spot on there. Yeah, like there's going to be an opportunity to get – 7 yards, 8 yards at a time when they really need it. And, you know, I think it's okay, again, because it's at, especially since it's at home, for these guys to be aggressive against them. It's going to be an opportunity for, you know, get out your fourth down takes, because I think you'll see a lot of that. Now, the fourth and eight, I'm not specifically saying anything, right?
Yeah,
I'm not even getting into that. But your fourth and twos, your fourth and threes, I think that's where you're going to see them push the envelope a little bit here, because not to say that it's a great thing to do because Carolina, I'm a week ahead of myself. That's a trap game for me. The Arizona Cardinals aren't they're obviously not a bad defense, but I still think you can kind of take advantage of it because both defenses match up pretty well against their offenses. So, you're going to be aggressive in some spots here.
Well, that's the other thing too. Like I talked earlier, is the idea of getting those quick starts, right? I want to see Jernigan get a really good start early in the game. I want to see the running game get going early. Well, if you get all of that and you have the opportunity to wear them down in the run game and then have that time in the pocket where, hey, look, it's far easier to run for 6 seconds as a wide receiver than it is to do it as a corner or to do it as a safety or a linebacker, because it's all reactionary. You have to use that extra boost of adrenaline to get yourself back to where you should be. And so the Eagles have the opportunity to wear the Cardinals down. And if they can get that quick start and just maintain the running game throughout, I mean, it's a game that could just break wide open, you know?
That'd be nice for once, and that's where we're still looking for that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. Like, this game, it's so volatile because as much as I feel like if it, you know, they get that kind of those steps in place, it could be great for them. At the same time, hey, if Carson Palmer continues to be sharp and hits a deep ball right off the bat, then it's like, oh, crap, here we go. So.
Oh, plus, like. Through all that, the number one thing that we look for each time the Eagles play the Cardinals, and as much as I think Bruce Arians is funny and very well, Jesus, nice job there, complimented Carson Wentz so nicely today in his conference call. When he gets red and hot and mad in his Kingle hat, we're on full diaper alert. I don't know if you know this, Vince, but this has been a thing for a while. We are on diaper watch when Bruce Arians is out on the field, and this is the funniest thing to see. So, you know, Dave Mangles at Southern_Philly will keep track of that throughout the entire game. That's the fun part about this game, is how full are Bruce Arians' diapers. So I think he always starts the game at like a quarter full already, because you get a little nervous.
He gets a little squirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from here. He understands. He's got a start in Temple and has a lot of family or so. You know, he wants to perform pretty well in front of friends and family, and that's what we want too—a blowout in full diaper Bruce Arians when a call doesn't go his way.
Yeah. So, with that,
not a great transition to piece there for us.
But
there you go.
You know, hey, what it is, man. Sometimes you got to talk about poop. It's not a good show if you don't talk about poop.
It's true.
That's just what the people want. We are a Philadelphia Eagles and poop show. Wasn't one of the Easter eggs about poop recently?
I think, yeah,
it was. I think that was maybe 2 weeks
ago. Oh, yeah, yeah, with the dogs. And everybody.
So, yeah. Good stuff. So, anyway, we got a couple of things going on. One, if you're a Patreon subscriber, we've had some of them on the show, but...
still continuing. And by the way, hey, maybe not be so picky about when and where if we ask you. I'm just saying. But we're going to come up with a lot of fun games for all the Patreon subscribers, our $25 subscribers who have been phenomenal this entire season.
Huge.
And through the off season, it's helped us out so much, you have no idea, and we want to make you guys a part of the show, so that's what's there for you. But again, we have tiers for everybody from $1 to $25. Vince does a lot of bonus stuff. James is doing a lot of bonus stuff. We'll have Eagle After Dark, The Beast, everything that's coming through there. Plus, Vince is going to add another one on there.
I mean, when
we brought him on, this is no joke, man. Like, he's a machine. So get ready, because there's another show, and we're going to keep finding new shows to come up with and keep putting in that $5 tier, especially for the off season and just kind of all over the place. James wasn't able to make it to Eagle After Dark, but that's coming out tomorrow, and me and BLG have a large food discussion, which I think is very important for
all
you.
Yeah. Lovely. So, yeah. The new show that I'm going to have next week, by the way.
Oh, no. We're not going
to.
You got to come with it first before we, start to do it. But just large tease, Vince Quinn, another $5 show. You'd be ready for it.
Yeah.
You'd be ready for it, Patreon subscribers.
Coming out. It's going to be, Tuesday next week?
Yeah. So the announcement will come Monday, and it'll be fun.
And on top of that, we're going to have a little contest going on at the very least this weekend, if not through the whole season, John.
Yeah, we're going to figure out exactly how to do this. But as you heard at the beginning of the program, Draft is one of our brand new partners. And I got to tell you, like, it's awesome. You know, we can do all the commercial reads and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. I just got to tell you, through all of the different DFS things, and you're trying to figure out cap, and you're trying to figure out, like, okay, which has more value? It's going to get me more points. Snooze fest. Absolute snooze fest. So just the Draft app is perfect because you get it's a snake-style draft every single time you play. I've been screwing around with it for the last month, and I've been having so much fun with it because you can do head-to-head drafts. You can do, like, a six-person draft. You can do whatever. It takes seconds. It takes minutes to go through this, and it's not like you have to fill an entire roster. It's just quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Done. That's it. That is it. So everybody has an opportunity to get great players. And it's just a matter of, like, all right, how smart you are with matchups and different things like that. And there's all different types of skill levels, too. You can play for a dollar. You can play for $1,000. And what's great about Draft is they guarantee you money back if you don't like it. That's what's awesome. You get a free tournament when you sign up and by just using the code BGNR. So let's just go to Draft. You can search for it in the iOS or Android users, or just go to draft.com if you need more details there. But free tournament when you put in BGNR, plus they use a money-back guarantee up to $100 if you don't like it. They're just like, okay, cool, you didn't like it, here's your money back. It's simple. Plus, you can win so much more on this. Like, it is so hard to, you know, feel good about yourself after you come back. You're like, God, I lost every single one of my DFS things. You win 80% of the time more using this than you would any other place. That's why we use it, and that's why we're going to continue to use it throughout the season.
Yeah, so we'll go head-to-head on that, and we're probably going to talk a lot of shit to each other too. Because that's,
every week we're going to have a thing, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll have some bets attached to that thing as well.
Yeah.
Maybe
some video embarrassment bets?
I'd be down for that.
Okay, yeah.
I have no shame. So, yeah.
Neither one of us.
Go to the bottom of the barrel and then keep digging. But, with all of that, let's go to the picks.
Hit me!
It's time to ring the bell and place some bets.
Hey, I don't want your money punching my money.
Here come our NFL picks.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
The picks are brought to you by our friends at the casino at Delaware Park. The Sportsbook at Delaware Park is where you can go to wager and watch all of the pro football games on Sundays. Go to DelawarePark.com for more details. Delaware Park is a lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. John Barchard, give me that first pick.
You don't have to be 21 to watch, Vince, and that's why we love it. We're going to start Sunday night football because the line is all over the place. Nobody knows what to do. It's opened at -1, went to a pick 'em. Then became a -1 favorite for your Kansas City Chiefs. And sometimes, I don't know, it's all over the place. No one's going to know until Sunday. It's either a pick'em or the Kansas City's in favor or Houston's in favor. We're going to stick with a pick'em because I see the majority of that happening right now in front of us. Houston taking on Kansas City and Houston. Who do you like in the pick'em?
Wow. First off, Kansas City again in prime time.
Hey, man. Hottest team in football. Why not? They're going to get flexed so many times, it's going to be ridiculous.
I know. It's crazy. This is 3 times now in 5 weeks, by the way, that they've been prime time. But if I'm looking at this one, man, Houston's been so hot. I got to say, I was not the biggest Deshaun Watson guy coming out of the draft.
Oh, I was, and I'm glad he's playing better because it makes me look better.
He does. Hey, wait till Trubisky's out there, baby.
Oh, man.
Trubisky! No, but...
For life.
I'm looking at this, and it's, man, Houston has been really impressive. They put up a lot of points. Kansas City is just so ridiculously good. Andy Reid's play calling is transcendent, and he's got the veteran quarterback. They figured out that, you know, the running game is stable. The defense is stabilized after losing Eric Berry. I don't care if they're on the road. I'm going Kansas City.
Colin Cowherd also thinks that, you know, oh, we ran Andy Reid out of town and he's actually going to be in the stadium this weekend and asking people to come up and talk to him. And shut up, dude. Just worry about your ratings, which you have done currently since moving over there.
Boom.
I'm against my better judgment. I'm going to ring the bell because I do like the trend that Deshaun Watson is on. Now, Kansas City's real tough, and they play pretty well away as they do home. So I'm probably going to lose this one, but for some reason I'm just going to go with the flow of the Deshaun Watson train because I really like how he's playing. And he'll probably fall off a cliff, and everybody will take their takes back in. Everybody will be calling for Tom Savage. But for now, I'm rolling with Houston in this one. All right, let's go to the the more interesting one. And by interesting, I mean it's also kind of a pick 'em as well, depending on where you're looking. We're going to stick with the pick 'em because it's the Cleveland Browns taking on the New York Jets in Cleveland. It's the McCown revenge game. Yeah, sure, that's the angle we'll go with because there's like 1,000 of those that I think he would qualify for.
Yeah, his whole schedule.
The Jets or the Browns, who do you like in this one, Vince?
Oh, my God. If there's a game that no one watches, did it ever take place?
Yeah, I don't know. It's another 1 o'clock snoozer.
My God. The Jets and the Browns. Wait, where? It's in Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Ooh, well, there you go. those diehard,
there
nasty
you go.
Cleveland fans. The Jets have won 2 games, surprisingly. I don't know how they've done it. It just completely blows me away. I'm a fan of what Cleveland's doing. I don't think they have it yet. And so, I'm going with the Jets. I'm picking the Jets to win a game of football.
Give me that Bilal Powell, baby. Keep him on the field for 150. I like the Jets in this one, too. For the only reason that I think that the Jets, Jets wide receivers, shockingly, don't drop footballs. So, and I don't know. Enjoy defending Deshaun Kaiser for the umpteenth week in a row, too. All right, let's head to, I think the line's interesting in this one. And I don't know if it's and this is happening Thursday night because we're going to do it here because we won't have a chance to otherwise. Tampa Bay taking on the Patriots at home. Patriots are still 5.5 point favorites in this one here. Vince, hasn't moved a touch. I don't think it moves that much once it gets closer to game time either. I don't think that Tampa Bay is going to win this game, but I can't ask New England to cover anymore. I think it's impossible. They almost didn't against the Saints. They certainly didn't against Carolina, and they lost in that one. I think their defense is so bad that it just can't cover spreads anymore. Not because they're a bad football team. It's still Tom Brady. I like Tampa Bay, and I like Tampa Bay by I think they lose by a field goal in this one.
John?
Ring the bell!
There it is! It is!
Ring it twice! They're winning this one outright, baby. Tampa Bay is going into New England's house and kicking the shit out of them.
Wow.
They're going to win this one.
Owie wee wow. By a lot, you think like like a 14-point ass kicking?
I don't think it's going to be that, but it could be, 7 points, 10 points. It's just, now that you're going to have a running game to go with that offense, there'll be a I don't want to say two-dimensional because that sounds wrong. But there'll be a well-balanced offense at this point. And, man, with New England just being that bad, to have the chance to ball control, to still have the big threat in Evans and Deshaun, which New England can't keep up with, it's their game to lose, I think.
Yeah, 55's the over-under on that. That's going to be so much fun.
That's going to be a crazy one.
I just like the third. I always just trust Thursday night. Home teams, I think, cover more than anybody else. I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly feels like it. So that's why I'm sticking with Tampa Bay. All right, we've talked about it a lot this entire episode. The spread we haven't talked about at all, which is 6.5.
Whoa.
In favor of the Philadelphia Eagles here.
Whoa.
Now, it's the same as the Giants, so nobody should be really, scared by that. I think that's probably the right line for this. I don't think that they win by a touchdown, though. I just don't think this is a team where you're going to see in the first, quarter to half of the season where they've hit their stride and they're blowing guys out. I mean, Torrey Smith still drops balls, and Carson
all
Wentz
of them.
Can't hit them. So it's just
yeah,
this
he can't
back
hit
and forth.
Torrey's balls, although he should.
So there's just been this back and forth problem, because if you think about all those, they would cover a lot of spreads. And we would have a different discussion about this football team. Like, my God, they are putting up points left and right and going crazy. But they're not doing that here. So I still like them to win. I feel comfortable about them winning. I just think they win by 4.
Ooh, 4. Yeah.
I don't think they blow this team out.
Yeah, 6.5 is just no way. I thought this game would be like the standard 3, and I would have been fine with that. So, yeah, I mean, that's a lot for the Eagles to cover. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, so we're both in agreement there. And again, you can tune into our BGN Radio Game Day live show at 8 a.m. on WIP's Facebook page. We'll go way into that along with all the fantasy takes and things like that. So it'll be a lot of fun. Vince Quinn, you have any final thoughts here, pal?
Well, first off, on top of that, we're going to be in the Jetro lot, correct?
Oh yeah, it's a home game, baby. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
we're going to be down. We're going to be down live drinking beers at 7 o'clock in the morning. So come join us. We are in the opposite of Darien Street. So like not Jetro in front, but behind where you would see behind and Xfinity and all that stuff. Yeah, like behind the stadium that way, not in between it.
Yeah, so we'll be there.
And we'll definitely be there.
We're going to be broadcasting, and so come out. Hey, bring signs or bring beers with you. Whatever you want to do, come on down. Join us for the party. It's going to be a great time.
8 to noon, we'll be broadcasting, too, because that's when the signal goes out, as we realized last time. So I promise we're not doing it on purpose. It's 4G LTE, and surprising, there's a lot of people with cell phones. So that's what happens.
Okay, so final thoughts on this one. I mean, yeah, this is a game that just, you know, it's going to go right down to the wire, and that's going to be it's going to be something. Now, one thing is, My car is dead.
Yeah.
I drove, it's in the past tense, a 1998 Chevy Lumina, forest green.
God bless you.
Like you've seen all over the road.
I've ridden in it, folks. I have ridden in it.
You have, just like a week ago. And so it was just interesting. I had this moment where, because that was my high school car. You know, my brother got it, my older brother. And we went to the same high school, so he drove me, and then I drove it when he graduated. And, you know, it's been through everything. I mean, to go from high school to now, we've had it in the family for like 12 years, 13 years. And so it was just cool to have that moment of being in the car when it was dead. It died in Center City. And so I'm waiting for the tow truck, and I'm cleaning it out. I'm taking all the change and putting it in my backpack, all this stuff. But I had the chance to just sit there for a minute and listen to the music that I listened to in high school, in my high school car, and know it was my last time. And there was just something awesome about that. So, you know, I was listening to, like, Taking Back Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Straight Light Run, if you know them, The Format. Yeah, I was into that emo scene. I was really deep into that. So just to have those couple of minutes and, like, relive high school again, and know that this was kind of the last ride with this car, it was really cool. And so,
now,
like,
did you bring your high school girlfriend into the car, or was that not a part of the experience?
Well, a high school girlfriend was never part of the experience. So that's a whole different thing.
Hence the Taking Back Sunday. So there we go.
Hence me being here all alone. But I don't know. There was just something cool about having that moment. The other quick thing in the world of music, Tom Petty died.
Yes.
And, like, Tom Petty is one of those guys that, when I'll have big family parties, and my family's huge, when you have those times where it's like you got all these different ages and you're trying to think of something to play that everyone can listen to, Tom Petty was my go-to for that. Like, Tom Petty can play at basically any party and no one complains about it. And that's pretty impressive. And I really enjoyed Tom Petty, and, you know, it's a shame to see him go.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I was never as a music, like, I always appreciated a lot of his stuff. He never spoke to me in that way, but, like, he spoke to a lot of people. And I think when I liked him the most is the times when he and Prince would be together on stage, when you would, you know, see them every now and again. And really, I like Tom Petty's stories a lot, too. Like, he was in, if you haven't seen the Defiant Ones yet, man, go and watch that if you're an HBO subscriber or not, or just find it wherever you can.
So it's like a documentary?
Yeah, and it's about him and his, you know, the original, like, producers that he had worked with that, you know, eventually became Interscope, and it's more their story, but they had, like, a large intersection of when he started out as a producer, and, you know, he was a large part of why Tom Petty exploded. And just hearing all that stuff when they started and who was all around there, it's amazing. And it sucks that Tom Petty's gone, because I know he touched a lot of different hearts and minds and things of that nature. So I think that'll do it for us. It has been BGN Radio number 266 right here on BleedingGreenNation.com and BGN Radio. BetOnline.com.
Stretch your hand and I'ma chop it off. I dare you ask for a favor from your boss's boss. Shrimp, scampi, angel head noodles, white wine sauce. Rewind Diana Ross, reload the Nina Ross. Settle metal when I'm focused on the green Donetto. Hocus pocus, Gucci loafers, cake with bacon soda. Cape for soldiers moving weight from Maine to Nova Scotia. Bang revolvers, problem solvers, that and pain to mothers. Lost a child, clips from play when they hear Belial. Nightmares, walking dead cause they sleep prepared. You either sheep or shed, be scared or cut the pieces. I lust for custom coupes with the honey mustard features. Butterfly doors, a whore that makes wine or sober. Her beauty stunning, plus she funny, that's the proper order. Head nods and cat calls cuz it's pops in order. Yeah, I'm stunting, all the world is my stage show. Dallas streets cruising around about 4 a.m.